Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino getting you ready for our special live know-it-alls at Run It Up Reno. You're about to hear what we're going to be recording in this very room that I'm standing in right now in just about 2 hours. Of course, you could check out the live version, which we are streaming on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. This podcast is also sponsored by Dynasty, the new reboot of the 80s series coming to the CW. You're going to want to check it out. Wednesday nights, the reboot of the iconic 80s series, Dynasty. The fashion, the fight scenes alone are legendary. Be sure to check that out after Riverdale, Wednesday nights, only on the CW. And here is tonight's live Survivor Know-It-Alls.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls. Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that's right. Here we go.
Can I come up?
Come up. Come up. Okay. Come join me, Stephen Fishback. Yes. What is going on? Run It Up Reno. You're going to eat popcorn during the show?
Yeah, we'll see.
All right,
see how entertaining you are.
Get your popcorn ready. Since I was podcasting with T.O. have we had popcorn ready to go on the podcast.
I don't get that reference.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Stephen Fishback, how are you?
I'm great. How are you? What an episode. This was like the first big episode of the season, I felt like.
This was the night I feel like that
this
Survivor
episode became president, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah, season, heroes versus healers versus hustlers became a season. So congratulations, season 35.
Yeah.
Way to go. Job well done. So we're here in beautiful Reno, Nevada, as part of Jason Somerville's Run It Up Reno event.
You don't know if it's beautiful because you haven't left the hotel.
That's true.
I left the hotel. It's actually beautiful. It's great out there.
Yeah. I don't want to leave the Peppermill Resort because, and why would you want to?
That's beautiful. They're great. Like a cool scene in Midtown.
Yeah. And thanks everybody who came out here tonight to see us. Make some noise for the people at home.
Yeah.
All right, because this is just like a curtain behind us on YouTube. It could look like, you know, we're just like in my hotel room. Okay, so we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. We just finished watching the episode here live, and so we're going to get into everything. Of course, we'll have plenty tomorrow on the podcast on my exit interview with Alan and hear what he has to say. Headline, balls out.
Okay, that's pretty good.
There you go. Yeah. And then we'll be talking with all of the fine survivors here at Run It Up Reno tomorrow. And then we'll have Nick Majorano joining us in my studio back home for the voicemails this week. So, Stephen, let's talk about a survivor, which, in my opinion, was all that and a bag of chips.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of chips, how have you been doing at poker?
I haven't played yet.
Then you're up.
I've been saying, yeah, exactly. Better than last year, yeah.
Very good. So this was, to me, such a great episode with, we got the swap. I felt like that we really just had like gridlock happening on this season where we had these tribes and there wasn't a lot of movement. We had three unanimous votes. And then tonight, really, everything started to come apart.
A lot of pots being stirred, a lot of bad play from a lot of different players, and a little bit of good play too. So it was a really fun episode. And, you know, another one of these mini advantages, like a single serving advantage, I'm calling it, but I haven't like workshopped that yet. So we can come up with a better name for it.
When you and I had done different think tanks about Survivor, where we were trying to come up with different ideas, we talked about the idea of shot clock idols, where people are taking an idol and sort of just putting it aside for the entire season. This seems to me like, I feel like that the producers are on the same page as we are of, you have an idol, let's see that idol get played. You have an advantage, let's see that advantage get played sooner than later, because it keeps the momentum going.
And last season, you know, with Advantage Geddon, which of course eliminated Suri when like 16 advantages were played in the same tribal council, was really no fun. It's no fun to just have people hold on to these things forever. As I can testify, it's very hard to know when to play your advantage. It's been very rare that advantages have been played correctly, you know, even when they're not played spectacular incorrectly. I like this. And I also thought that, you know, this whole cross tribal thing makes an interesting dynamic. And like making the advantages a little bit less powerful, I think is fun too. Like making them more frequent, more required to play, and less powerful, I think is cool.
Okay, so let's talk through this tribal council that we saw tonight, which was, you know, far and away the most explosive result that we had on this season. Like we had a lot of fireworks in that first tribal council where Katrina got voted out, but this was the first time like the outcome was really in question. The idol was played. There was the great moment with Devin. That's not an advantage. Got a big laugh tonight.
Yeah.
And let's talk that through. You said you felt like that people played poorly. Who name some names?
Well, I have to say, I think Jessica gave her disadvantage to the wrong player. You know, Jessica says she wants to help out the healers tribe. So theoretically, you know, she sees this tribe. I don't remember their name, but, you know, whatever they're called.
I believe that they were called the Blue Tribe. The Levu.
Yeah. So you've got two healers. You've got two heroes, and you have one hustler. So she should be seeing that this hustler is going to be the swing vote. She really should be trying to invalidate one of the heroes' votes, and thereby forcing Devin, the hustler, to side with, just by the pure strength of numbers, to side with her healers. By giving that disadvantage to Devin, she's just reinforcing the gridlock. She's removing the swing vote. She's not really giving her healers any advantage in that. Ultimately it does somewhat work out for the healers, but yeah. You know, she could have played it much more strongly.
I agree with what you're saying, but I want to circle back to Jessica and that whole tribe of Cole and all the chaos going on there, because I really want to get into Joe and Desi versus Devin and Ashley. And I'm really curious to know how you feel like Joe played this round, because that this was certainly very exciting. It was very Vlachos-esque, and that Joe has been very exciting to watch this season, but is he playing well?
Well, I mean, working backwards from actually tribal council, right? He made the correct call with the idol. Yeah. Now, it actually, I correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think it matters who he played the idol for, right?
Yeah. So this is a little bit of a complicated situation, but once the Devin vote becomes invalidated, then you have this potential 2v2 setup. So Joe can play the idol for either himself or for Desi. Now, when that vote comes back, no, whether the two votes are on Joe, okay, great, Alan goes home. If the two votes were on Desi, if Joe was wrong, we ultimately go to a gridlocked, potentially 2v2 tie, where now Desi is going to be safe from the rock draw, and now also whoever they put their votes on, Alan, is going to be safe from the rock draw, which would then force Ashley and Devin to draw rocks, Joe being immune because he played the idol. So Joe and Desi, once that vote came through that invalidated Devin's vote on the secret advantage, then both the healers were going to be safe at that tribal council.
Now, I saw some people on social media were saying that they're, because of that, because both Joe and Desi were safe. Now, it's unlikely that Joe calculated all this in his head, right? In the incredibly tense situation of tribal, it's hard to like run through every possible scenario and figure that out. But some people were saying, well, he should have, in that case, played it for Desi, because then he gets points with Desi.
That's getting a little too cute.
Yeah, I agree. And like, you know, in that situation too, like if you're Joe, like, play for yourself, be 100% sure, because you don't know for sure if Desi's not going to turn on you.
Yeah. And he did play it correctly, where he was able to decipher that they were going to put the votes on him. I think that they were trying to bluff him that they were going to put the votes on Desi. Yeah. And then I think that they thought it was the bigger move to then put the votes on Joe so they could potentially get him to flush his idol on Desi and then also knock him out of the game. A real, like, adding insult to injury move. And he was correct to suss that out. But I want to know from you if you think that Joe actually played this smart, in that he tried to get them, and I'm sure we have a lot of poker players here, that by acting out, he got Ashley and Alan to give up a lot of information, I felt like, in terms of what they did. And while, yes, he probably went overboard, that he got them to signal a lot, which ultimately he was able to make the right read.
What did he get them to signal?
That ultimately that they were going to be voting together as a group and they were going to be coming for him.
But it wasn't clear they were coming for him over Desi, right? But
it was clear enough to Joe.
Right. Well, at tribal council, but he didn't know in the moment at camp, right?
Well, that he ultimately learned that. I mean, at some point.
But he said it was when he was looking at her face.
I mean, I think that he's just a little bit of a that's just trash talk.
Right. But the argument could be like, well, he was going to play for himself, like no matter what. And he then, I'll play for myself and then say, oh, yeah, I read the room perfectly and saved myself.
Well,
yeah,
of course. To the victor goes the spoils.
No.
You get it right. You get to say whatever you want. That's the best thing about what we do, because we,
no matter what happens, we get to know more.
Right. But I felt like that he did do a good job. The only thing I'll nitpick with Joe, at the point when he starts saying to Alan and Ashley, well, you guys may be surprised tonight.
Right.
That's not the right thing to say if you want to sort of ambush somebody with the idol.
Right. I mean, obviously Joe played that very well, right? He did manage to stir them up against him. He did manage to get the votes onto himself, and he did play the idol correctly. I mean, ultimately his flaw was the way he handled Devin, right, to start with. I mean, when you first saw that, I felt like when I first saw that, I was like, oh, wow, that's so devious of him, to use fear to win Devin to his side. And then, of course, that was proven to be the wrong decision. Did you think at the time, like, wow, you should never use fear like that? Or what was your gut reaction to Joe's tactic at that point?
To me, I felt like that is a little bit too specific of a thing to throw out there, that these other people are like to tell the swing vote, oh, those people are coming for you, right? I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense that why that they would do that in that spot. Right. And it was also such a specific thing that could have been cross-checked, which it ultimately was. Like, I think that you can do a lot more with just sort of the implication as opposed to the specific charge.
Well, what's the move? What's the implication? How do you imply it if you're Joe? Like, if you are Joe in that scenario, how do you make sure even knowing that Devin is a surfer and Ashley loves the beach, how do you break through that bond?
Well, I don't know if that's an unbreakable bond, Stephen. Well, but I think that want to try to sell what your group can do as the healers, in terms of that you want to work with him and you've had a good feeling about him. You wanted to work with him the whole game, and these heroes, we need to stay strong against them. They have a lot of they have a strong set of numbers.
Is there any fear? Like, is there any place for fear there? Like, how do you use fear? And it's not just because, like, what you're saying is like sort of like the generic, no offense.
Yeah.
I'm a little on the spot, Stephen.
I didn't, ready to role play as Joe and Desi in this spot.
Do you have your impersonation worked out?
No, because I'm really torn right now with Joe, because that I keep talking about Tony.
Oh, you do the Tony.
And I don't want to do the Tony impression, but, eventually, he should have his own impression. He deserves it. But I don't want to do a disservice to Joe by constantly bringing up Tony, yet that he has become a better Tony 2.0 than the actual Tony 2.0 was.
Right. Well, Tony 2.0 was not a great Tony 2.0.
No, yeah. No.
But Tony 1.0, I mean, this is not, but you're not saying he's Tony 1.0.
Well, Tony,
levels.
Look, you have to win, Joe. That if Joe has to win before we can compare him to the great Tony Vlachos. But I wanted to see Tony return to Survivor so badly, and then I got my wish, and then he was, you know, he could not repeat it. But in Joe, I almost feel like that this wish fulfillment has happened. Like, it's almost as if Tony has come back to Survivor, and he is out there, and he is with the bag of tricks, yeah, and with the idols, and making these big moves and fighting with people. And it's great.
It is great. It is really great. He's a great character. I'm really glad, yeah, that he's still back, still in the game.
Yes. And he's not Tony, but he's Tony in the good ways for me so far as a Survivor viewer.
When we were talking about Tony during his season, we were like, this guy is really overdoing it. Do you think Tony has changed our perspective on all future Tonys?
Oh boy. The paradigm shifting Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. I would love to, you know, and Tony is like, has become like this J.D. Salinger like figure where he is like a recluse and doesn't want to talk about. So I would love to know what he's thinking about. We have to probably find out from Spencer to text Tony, yeah, and see what Tony is thinking, whether he loves Joe or he hates this imposter.
Yeah. I'll sometimes get like strings of Tony DMs, which are great. Like not, yeah, not negative ones, like very like, you know,
lucky man.
Yeah.
So in terms of where this tribe is now for Joe and Desi, and now they've sort of forced this beach alliance into being a thing in terms of Devin and Ashley, where do they go from here? Can they coexist, or should we expect to, in 1 week's time, see this group back at a tribal council?
Oh man, that's a tough one. You're putting me on the spot here. I mean, I think
that's the show.
I mean, it's not like Ashley and Alan had such a great bond. I mean, if anything, that's what we lost, right? We lost. Like,
they
wanted more
up
Ashley
on the
and
same
Alan
page.
Tension. I know, which is really disappointing. Like, I was so excited when they were swapped onto the same tribe.
No, it gives hope to the world. Yeah. Like, if Ashley and Alan could have gotten together.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
There's hope.
Yeah. I mean, Ashley's not so like wedded, you know. I mean, Ashley, you know, I guess she didn't have some like great, you know, stake in Alan's future. I'm sure this group can come together.
Yeah. But do you think that foursome can work together?
This does not seem like the foursome that's going to go. Like, there's no real deep bonds here. There's no great bond between even like Desi and Joe. Obviously, Devin doesn't love them. I mean, maybe Devin and Ashley, like, you know.
But can this foursome even coexist for another couple
of
votes?
I mean, are they physically going to like live on the same beach? What do you mean by this?
Well, do we expect them to just totally self-destruct and now go to the next two tribal councils until we get to the merge?
No, I mean, I think it's a pretty good tribe. I mean, I think it's, you know, they're pretty strong. I don't necessarily see them being a disaster tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Well, the thing is that Joe, I think around camp, I mean, you just had this really toxic situation. They're going to go back to camp. You know that the opening scene of next week's episode is going to be Joe and Ashley like getting into it.
But this was like, but Joe deliberately created that, right? It wasn't like Joe just couldn't control his hostility or negativity or whatever. Like, he wanted to create drama at camp for a very specific purpose, and he did it. It's not like he's constantly starting fires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it'll be very fun to see how that group goes, because now this is a 2-2 potential going into this next. And, you know, if you don't want to have some sort of a deadlocked going to rock situation at this, you know, somebody's got to flip.
Right. I mean, and it'll be Devin, right? Like, why wouldn't he?
You think Devin will flip to the Joe and Desi side?
Right, well, they don't have any, like, I mean, beyond the beach bond, you know, those guys don't have any like, you know, deep affinity for each other.
Yeah, no, that's that'll be fun to see on this Lebu tribe. Do you mind at this point in the game that with these tribes of five that we had a vote cancel?
I don't. I mean, if I were there, if I were the person, I would be really annoyed. I mean, as we were saying, it very well could have happened that Devin got, you know, drew the white rock and went home without even having a vote in that tribal council, I think that would be a disappointing thing to see. But I don't mind. Let's mix it up as a viewer. Like, it's fun, right?
Yeah. When they first announced that there was going to be a vote canceled out of five, like, you're going to cancel one vote out of five here, and we're before the merge, but it ended up playing out, you know, in a very exciting way.
Right. And I think what's cool about, like, these mini advantages, if they have a bunch of them, is that it can, you know, can happen or it cannot happen. And no matter what, it's going to lead to something, right? Because, you know, as with the Ryan and Chrissy Super Idol, you know, that never got played at Tribal Council, but it's going to be a bond for Ryan and Chrissy. And then, you know, with this, it's pretty likely that Devin is going to find out that who canceled his vote. That's going to have repercussions. Literally everyone in the game probably by this point knows that Jessica is the one who cast that. So, you know, Cole has probably been shouting
that's on
the beaches.
Advantage.
Yeah. In the challenge, Cole is probably like whispering it to the other tribes. Like, guess what?
Did you hear? Yeah. Did you hear this? Did you hear this?
So, okay. You know,
well, let's go back to Cole and Jessica. Yeah. Okay. So you opened the show talking about how she played it on the wrong person, but we got to see this continuing storyline with Cole and Jessica going back to last week's episode, where we saw that Cole told Jessica about how Joe had the idol, and then Cole was telling everybody the same information in front of Jessica, which she did not like. And then blabbermouth Cole was out there again telling everybody about Jessica's secret advantage in the first place. Was Jessica's mistake sharing with Cole and Mike then, when she knew that Cole had loose lips, that should she have not even told him in the first place?
Yeah, it's hard. It's so easy to say after the fact, well, obviously she shouldn't have said something. You know, yes, Cole did this thing, but at that point it was, you know, it was Cole's info that he had kind of someone gotten for himself, right? It was like he had gotten it with Joe. He had been with Joe when he found it. Like, that was Cole's information, and this is Jessica's information. And I mean, obviously, after the fact, it's easy to say, yes, Jessica shouldn't have said something. She should have known about Cole. But at the time, I don't know. I mean, I don't hate that move. Obviously, it ends up, you think she definitely shouldn't have said anything.
I mean, don't we have confessionals from her on last week's episode saying, like, I don't know if I could trust Cole. Like, I can't believe he's telling everybody about this.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, isn't it beautiful that she could find trust for him again?
I guess so. Yeah. Is she going to tell him again? I mean, how many times does she have to touch the hot stove with this guy to ultimately, no, you can't trust him?
Well, I think this is probably it, right?
This is it?
Yeah.
This is it. Yeah. Okay. No more secrets for Cole.
Yeah. Too many secrets. I actually didn't hate it when this might be blasphemous, but I didn't hate it when Cole told Ben. I thought, like, actually, like, that's kind of a cool thing. Like, to, you know, as Cole says, information is power. He can leverage someone else's information to earn trust for himself. If he just kind of goes off with Ben privately and is like, guess what? I've got a little bit of information. If he can really trust Ben not to say anything, I think that could be a cool way to make a very unique individual bond with Ben. The problem is when he then, like, brings Lauren in. So not only is he broadcasting, you know, to everyone the information, but he's also saying to Ben and Lauren, cause like, it's not, he doesn't approach Lauren individually. It's like Ben and Lauren and himself. So it's like clear that he's like, just like doing the rounds.
No, I'll disagree with you on this. So I thought this was a bad move because the power of the secret advantage was you get to cancel somebody's vote. And I feel like that the logical question was going to be, well, whose vote are you guys canceling? There's only five of us here, so who are we voting out? Are you canceling my vote?
Well, that's why if he had told Ben and not Lauren, he could have, you know, gotten a pocket ally in Ben, mm-hmm. and then, you know, gotten the tribe to vote out Lauren.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know who the target was. And if Ben and Lauren were working together, which they, you know, clearly were tonight, it seems like now you're giving the opposition a chance to strategize against you, where Ben and Lauren can now say, okay, so they're going to cancel one of our votes. So now we need to pull Dr. Mike in on our side, because then we'll force this 2-2 vote. And you're just giving information to the opposition. If it was after the challenge and then they had already won and she was going to give it away. Hey, just so you know, I want to let you guys know that she found this in the bag of chips. She had to give it away. Like, I like that more, but it's a sort of just like tip your hand to the other group. I feel like that was too much.
But I'm not disagreeing with you. I think at the point that it's the other group, it is too much. I think when it's one person, he's creating confidence with one person. I think that's an interesting strategic idea. You know, obviously, like, then he goes too far. And, like, I mean, again, like, it's like, I think at the point where he's talking to a group of people and sharing information, then it's not like an individual bond. It's not clear that Lauren and Ben are working together.
Oh, I was going to ask you about the Ben Alliance love triangle between him and Lauren and Chrissy. And where does his heart lie now?
Is it so? Is that clear? I must have missed that in this show.
Do you guys feel like that Ben and Lauren could be a tight two?
Like, could be. I mean, what do you mean? Nobody? Could be like a hypothetical. I mean, there was nothing to support that.
But I feel like that she has sort of. She has the blue collar sensibility that Chrissy doesn't have.
So this is really actually just fan fiction. Like, you're like.
Well, what did I make this up? Are they not? Are they two people working together?
I mean, there are two people on the same beach. Like, I guess, like, there's nothing to suggest that. Like, look, let's say. Well, let's
now you go. The hate is going too far. A simple. Let's see. Would have been fine. You don't need to invalidate the whole point.
Well, Lauren. Let's move on to Lauren, who does a great job. Right. Who did an amazing job taking the information that she gets from Cole and using it against Cole. She takes it back to Mike, and then, you know, basically. You know, I'm really happy to see Lauren there. You know, Lauren is a pot stirrer.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what would have happened, because this would have been another interesting group to have gone to a tribal council. If push came to shove and that new red tribe ended up going to tribal council, who would have been voted out?
I think Lauren.
You think Lauren?
Yeah.
You think that?
I think Mike is going to stick with. I think Jessica's going to stick with Cole, and I think Michael stay with them.
So you think that Jessica would have taken away either Ben or Lauren's vote? You don't think there was any chance that Cole would have ultimately been the person to go out?
No.
No chance.
I mean, chance. I don't know. I mean, with chance. I mean, who knows what could happen? But like, no chance. I wouldn't say that about anything. You know,
okay.
Could have ended.
Yeah. But, I felt like it was trending that way. I felt like it was trending where at least, and maybe I'm just falling for the.
You like hallucinated a whole like different series of events on this tribe. You got Ben and Lauren together.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see what social media thinks. You're already a popular figure there. Yeah. But I did think that there was like Dr. Mike seemed very upset.
Yeah. I mean, understandably, right?
Yeah. And poor Jessica was crying.
Yeah.
She's never going to tell a secret to anybody ever again.
What did you think of? But do you think Cole salvaged anything with his recovery?
No.
Nothing.
No.
He didn't say to his credit that he told both Lauren and Ben.
Yeah. No, and he's like, well, I told Ben. And then that you don't think that there's going to be some cross-examination where they're like, yeah, Cole told me.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And I feel like and we know from last week at tribal council that Lauren's not going to hold anything back if they go to a tribal council.
Yeah. Lauren's great. Lauren's a really great character. I'm glad that they kept her last week.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like that Dr. Mike has found his footing a little bit.
We barely saw. I don't know. We can't talk about this speech anymore. It's very confusing.
What do you feel like? Did you feel like Dr. Mike was going to get voted out?
No. But he
okay,
was. Like,
so he went from a situation where his tribe wanted to go after him, and now he's found his footing. You're so argumentative tonight.
I'm just trying to like cue to the things we saw on the TV, not whatever was happening. You know,
was that a hot take?
I treasure
Dr.
Your
Mike
subjective
found
experience.
His footing.
No. You're right. He was. He's safe. I mean, it's a great position to be in when you go from the bottom of one tribe to swapping and then you're solidly in the majority alliance. Mm-hmm. That's happened to me. And I think it not only can change your position in the game just logistically, it can change your whole outlook. And he did seem like to be much more integrated with that group. I will cede the point.
Thank you. Thank you for the minor concession. All right. Then we didn't really see much of the new yellow tribe. We really just had that one scene where Ryan and Chrissy were bonding over the fact that he passed off the hidden advantage to her. That seemed like a genuine moment.
I liked that. I mean, I thought that Ryan did such a great job with that. I mean, obviously Chrissy too, she like, it was the fact that they were able to be genuine with each other. It's really rare. And it seemed like, I mean, just based on the orchestrations that were playing behind the scene, it seemed like it was a real important
what
moment.
What a score that was.
Yeah.
She said that when I looked in my bag and I found that advantage from you, I felt loved.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you think that Ryan was telling the truth when he said that that was why he gave it to her?
That it was just that he felt like there was something about her.
He felt that there was a connection, or he really wanted to play the game with her. Did you buy that, or did you think that he? I mean, it's a great thing to say, but do you think it was the true thing?
I mean, what do you think that the truth was?
I mean, I think that's a possibility. I mean, I want to get Adam up here eventually because I think that that's his perspective. But, you know, he also could think like, oh, you know, at the time we talked about how maybe he wanted to give it to someone weaker on that tribe.
We've talked about that, though, that she was when she threw up that was after the other tribes had actually left. And that wasn't actually something that that transpired on the show. And then it seemed like something that he wanted to work with her. That Chrissy is put out some good mojo this season. Seems like a lot of people are sort of like really up for working with her.
Yeah, the Chrissy, Ryan, Ben, this is fully fan fiction. Ben, Devin, alliance. If that happens, like I would be delighted.
What?
And Allie. This is my fan fiction alliance.
Yeah. Well, why Allie?
That's just great.
But she's not. But like I thought you were rattling off the okay.
That, but Chrissy, Allie, I mean Ryan. That's like that's a thing that could happen right now, right? I mean that's happening.
Yeah. No, that could be. And I feel like that there could be some synergy there, and that could be something that comes together at the merge.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, that's a great alliance. That would be a great group for the season.
It would be a great group for the season. Okay. All right. You mentioned that you wanted to hear from the great Adam Klein, right?
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay. All right. So we are going to do just that. You guys listening to the podcast are going to hear that when we come back from this break. We'll get right back to Survivor Know-It-Alls, but I got to tell you about Dynasty, the insanely addictive new show of the fall season, Wednesday nights on the CW. It's the can't-miss new series, Dynasty. If you watch the original series, Dynasty, you know it's one of the most iconic shows of the 80s. The fashion and fight scenes were legendary. The CW's version of Dynasty is getting major love from critics and viewers. You won't be able to get enough of the drama and surprises. It's from the producers of Gossip Girl and The OC, so you know it won't disappoint. The Carringtons are the family that has it all. Their business is literally power. They'll do anything to get more, just like Stephen Fishback. Blake Carrington rules this dynasty, and by all means necessary, including manipulating his own kids, Fallon and Stephen. Fallon Carrington is ready to take over the family business and the world, but she's in for a big surprise. Q Crystal, her father's equally ambitious and gorgeous young fiance. Get ready. The women on this show are bosses. They're not fighting for a man. They're fighting for business and family. For the Carringtons, that's the same thing. Don't miss all new episodes of Dynasty Wednesday nights after Riverdale, only on the CW. All right, we're back. Okay. All right. So let's bring up to the stage the great winner of Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. Let's bring up Adam Klein.
Woo!
Okay. Here, you sit in the middle.
Oh,
you sit in the
wow.
middle. Honored guest. I'm tired of sitting next to Steven.
All right.
Wow. How you really special. Got upset about that Yellow Tribe or whatever.
This is exciting for me.
Yes. Okay.
The last time I wasn't at one of these.
Yes, you were not. You were not at Know-It-Alls. But your cousin was.
Yes.
The night that Figgy got voted off.
Yeah, and I think my cousin got a very awkward standing ovation.
Yes.
But my cousin felt very bad that Figgy was voted out. Yes. It wasn't like a, you know.
Your cousin said, because I had said to your cousin, well, why don't you come up on the stage and ask a question about, Rob, why do you hate showmances? Why don't you root for love on these shows? And your cousin was like, no, I really like Figgy now.
But this is very apropos because that breakout episode of yours was you had just swapped and you were the swing vote between two different groups and you had to make a choice. Were you going to go with Ken and Jessica or Figtails? And you chose to Ken and Jessica.
Much to the audience's pleasure.
And your vote did not get canceled out.
No, it didn't.
So could you talk...
And that was ended up being really pivotal, you know.
Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about that situation that Devin found himself in, of being the one person with two pairs who were tighter pairs in your season than these pairs were, but still pairs of people working together?
Yeah, I mean... on my tribe, Figgy and Taylor were telling me that Ken and Jessica were coming after me. Ken and Jessica said that Figgy and Taylor were coming after me, but I didn't really... I bought that those people were saying those things to each other, but I didn't believe that they were telling the truth to the other pair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that Devin's situation was a little bit different in that I think Joe pushed him away... to enough that he knew that he wasn't on his side by the time they went to tribal council.
What do you think? I mean, having been in that situation, like, what is the best way to go after the, you know, you? Like, what's like, what is like the best sales pitch?
I mean, I think building a genuine connection, which I think that Devin got more so with the healers than
the beach thing.
I mean, yeah. Not with the healers, with the heroes than the healers.
Yeah.
I think my situation might be more like Mike's, actually, because Mike is coming in with two people from his own tribe. That's the situation that I was coming in.
A showmance.
Yes, and they are kind of in a showmance as well. Yeah. And so he has to decide if he wants to stick with that pair or go with a new pair. Whereas Devin is coming in, and he doesn't have a relationship with either side coming in.
Right.
And do you think Mike is going to go to this Big Ben-Lauren alliance that's brewing?
I think it's possible. I don't know. There's obviously some distrust that's developing between Mike and Cole.
He was being facetious.
I was half serious, because it's an interesting question.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities, for sure. Yeah. And I planned on sticking with Figgy and Taylor initially, and then things develop. The millennials say something to me. Right. Ken finally says, I'm never going to write your name down. So things change. And if I had to go to tribal council the first time, maybe I vote out Ken.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think it's possible.
So just three more days and like the whole tribe could switch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You did not love the fact that they had this quote-unquote advantage tonight. You were very down on this idea.
No, I think that from a show perspective, the advantage is fine. I think it adds something interesting. But let's be very clear. This is a disadvantage.
Yes, yeah. You equated it to when you had the opportunity to steal someone's reward.
Yeah, any advantage that is about making an enemy in the game isn't an advantage.
Right.
Ryan got a huge advantage, because at the beginning of the game, it's not so much the advantage of not being the first one voted out. The better advantage is that you have someone from day one on another tribe that you know you're going to be able to count on later on.
Right.
And you can, and we're seeing that play out. There's no way that they have that instant trust like that if Ryan didn't get that advantage. This is the total opposite. This is the advantage of saying you get to burn somebody else in the game. And they're going to find out that you did it, even though it's anonymous, because there's just no way in the game of Survivor of keeping these things under wraps for that long.
Especially with Jessica and Cole. Yeah,
yeah, but even if she just told Cole and Cole didn't tell anybody, at a certain point, you have to figure out, well, the choices get narrowed down very quickly.
Do you think that Jessica gave it to the right person, given this very difficult choice? Because you're right, like, whoever she gives it to is going to be mad at her later. Do you think she did the right thing?
No, I agree with you that she should have given it to someone on the heroes if her, as she stated, her goal was to save her fellow healers. I agree with you on that. But either way, it's a lose-lose. I would have said, if I were in her position, can I not give this away? I don't want to mess with the other, you know, tribes thing. You guys do what you need to do. We'll figure it out at the merge. You don't want to make an enemy of a stranger and then come into the merge and have someone that you know is going to be against you.
It is kind of fun, like, that they're actually like giving like curses to the punishments to the players. Like, that's new, right? Like, because you're right, it's not an advantage for Jessica. I mean, it's like marginally an advantage for Jessica. You could pitch it as that, but it's not really. Yeah, it's kind of a... I didn't think about it like that. That's a cool twist.
On her own tribe, maybe.
Yeah,
if
they're
voting that person out, and then they're gone. But if you have to give it to somebody on another tribe, and they're going to stay in the game, what do you guys think about this? What about at that tribal council? What's the best case scenario for the heroes there? That it goes to 2-2 and they draw rocks? Is that the best case scenario? Given if they keep their votes on either Joe or Desi?
Well, you mean once Devin's already been eliminated, his vote has
once
been eliminated?
Once his vote is out, yeah. What's the best case scenario for them?
Yeah, it's Devin drawing a rock. Yeah.
So should they have maybe considered the possibility of saying, hey, Joe, hey, Desi,
let's just vote for,
should we just vote for Devin and then we'll draw rocks next time we have to come to tribal council?
Wow, that's a great call.
Yeah, they could have thrown him under the bus.
I think they needed to, because the best case scenario for them was drawing rocks, whereas if they just kick the can, and their best case scenario is Devin going home anyway, mm-hmm. Right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, I guess they don't know for sure that the healers have an idol, so, but right. Still.
Does this idea sort Trust of speak me. To that, that maybe it doesn't work in the show's favor to sort of like drop that bomb right there of open this, turn over this chance card. Oh, wait, you don't get to vote tonight. Okay, it's time to vote. And nobody had, a good 10 minutes to process.
It's an opportunity for the quick thinkers, right. What I mean? And you can say at tribal council, I'm not ready to vote. Yeah. We say, I do not consent. So if that happens and then you're like, wait, I got to think about this for a second. You can say that.
That's cool. That's why you won this thing. I did not. That's great. That's a great, that would have been a great strategy. Yeah.
I mean, obviously that's not what they want to do. They like Devin. They want to work with Devin. But there aren't a whole lot of great options at that point. You just lost your majority.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that Devin will be able to do about it, considering he doesn't have a vote, unless what happens if Devin has an idol? Now we're really going down the rabbit hole. Sorry. But what happens if Devin has an idol? They say, you guys all want to vote for Devin, and he can't do anything about it. But then he plays an idol, and then there's no votes cast. Well, what do they do?
But the only thing I'll say
Sarigo's
about that
home?
Situation. For Alan, for poor Alan, yeah, that this would have been a much better situation. But I get the sense that if Ashley had her druthers, that trading out Alan Ball for Devin
right.
was a better trade for her. Like, I think she's happier to have that as her new partner.
You saw her shocked face.
She was shocked. She was shocked. But when she's sort of like, by the light of day, she's like, okay, this wasn't the worst case scenario. Now Alan's not here, and now at least I have this other guy that I can work with. What's going to happen when we get to the merge? When JP and Devin are both there.
Sparks.
And then this could be really messy.
You're really into these love triangles. You got Ben, Chrissy, Lauren.
Rob, there is no indication whatsoever that Ashley and Devin are romantically interested in each other.
Yes. Yeah.
He didn't come up with his spear and the fish at the end of it.
That's true.
So.
That's true. But he was a beach guy.
Yeah.
There you go. He is a good looking man. So
he is a good looking guy. Ask Josh Wiggler. When we have a situation here where now you can open your bag and you could have a thing that's a secret advantage and it could be something bad. Yeah. Now, we've already filmed Survivor 36, but does Survivor have an issue where people will open their bag in Survivor 37 and beyond and there is said secret advantage in there? Be like, I don't see anything. There's nothing in my bag.
Yeah. It's to anyone playing Survivor who finds something that says secret advantage is not passing that up. I guarantee.
Or
you.
Says, oh, here's a chip.
I mean, it's
too tempting.
I mean, they would have made. Devin was going to have to open that, right? Jeff was going to lean in and be like,
"Not if
you've got
it.
Something." I don't know.
Yeah, they must have reminded him, like, remember when Jeff says it's time to vote.
Yeah, Devin was not happening without Devin opening that package. Yeah.
Was it wrong to say secret advantage on his note?
It was a secret advantage.
It was.
Well, theoretically,
it was a secret advantage. But I thought that's a little cute. Of like,
what is it going to say? Secret advantage.
Disadvantage. Yeah. The note. could have said like open at tribal or something like that. Like it feels like a little bit like get your hopes up, and then
that's the point. That's the great moment that we all laughed at. It was like, that's not an advantage. Like, you don't get that moment if it says this is going to be terrible for you.
That would be worse. That would be a worse way to communicate.
That would be a long afternoon to sort of have the note in your bag. This is going to be terrible for you, and then have to go through all that. That would be a lot. We haven't talked too much about the politics of that new yellow group other than Ryan and Chrissy. Rourke is the only person from the Healers who's there. It's Ryan, Allie, Chrissy, Rourke, and JP. Have you given any thought to that group and how that might shake out?
Well, I would imagine that it's not the same thing where it's like two and two and Rourke in the middle, because Chrissy and Ryan might be the most closely aligned people on that tribe.
Yeah.
So they're going to be able to decide who goes home because no one's going to see them coming. So if Ryan wants to protect Allie and Chrissy, who's she with? She probably doesn't care that much about protecting JP. So I would guess that's going to be JP or Rourke most likely.
But couldn't, I mean, doesn't Rourke have some leverage for being that middle vote? I mean, obviously Ryan and you know, Chrissy have this bond, but there's got to be some sort of angle she can kind of work there, right?
I think that's what they're going to lead her to believe, right, for sure.
Right.
Because it's very easy now that Ryan and Chrissy seem to trust each other explicitly, that they can say, let's play this up.
Right.
You know, the two of us versus the two of you. But really, we have our two and our pick of who we want to come with us.
Yeah. And Ryan and Allie had a thing, right? Like, they seem to have a good relationship on the
we haven't really seen the two of them together all that much. You know, we saw Ryan and Devin together, and then we saw Allie talking to everybody else, Patrick and Lauren and Simone.
Yeah. I think they did have a powwow in the Simone vote. Yeah. I think that they talked about that.
I mean, they certainly voted together.
They voted together.
No indication that they're like very, very close.
Right. Sure.
But I feel like when it was between Simone and Patrick, those were the two that were talking about the idea of potentially keeping Simone in that episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, sure, because Allie, her first instinct wouldn't be to get rid of her friend from college.
Yeah.
I think they might have just had similar interests. Their interests might have been aligned, but
yeah. And if we're going to really sort of close this loop, Stephen, if Ben and Lauren stick together and
romantically,
Ryan,
right?
and Ryan and Chrissy and Allie come together.
Yeah.
So Chrissy and Ben connects with all of the Hustlers.
Yeah. Okay.
That could,
there you go. And that's your dream alliance, right?
That would be great.
I do think that something that I'm really digging about this season is that I think Game is recognizing Game. The strong people are teaming up. They're all working together. And so, you know, you've got all these really smart people that I think are going to make the merge, and I think it's going to set up. I mean, you know, Probst has already said like it's a fun, you know, this season gears up, and I think we're seeing why that is. All these smart people are starting to work together.
We haven't talked much about Alan tonight on his boot episode. I think that Alan did turn out to be a fun character.
He
was fun certainly tonight in the boot episode.
Yeah. Yeah, he was great.
I love when he's saying to Joe, like, we're doing it. Like, we're going to tribal council. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's out there.
Yeah.
That was a good moment.
Someone will be voted off tonight.
Yes.
I
recognize that fact.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that somebody is going to go home. And I like that him and Ashley got on the same page before it was all
over. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, it's hope
maybe
for us
they're
all,
romantically
right?
involved.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. You know. It could happen.
Alan was a great character. He had that one blow up, but it didn't seem like there was other blow ups. And, you know, according to him, that was a strategic decision.
Yeah. Okay.
We didn't see anything from JP tonight, did we?
He talked in the challenge. He was shouting a lot. But other than that, we didn't see anything.
And things like that.
Yeah.
And things like that.
Hey, just give it all, you know, see what happens. And just go out there and 110%, and you know, you never know. You one day in front of the one foot in front of the other, you know, see what happens tomorrow. And things like that.
Yeah, that's a good size, JP. There you go. All right. So I want to get into taking some questions from you guys. We have a microphone that we're going to come around and take some questions from the listeners tonight. So we'll do that. Is Jason still? Is Jason back there? Was he just in for a second? He's gone. Okay.
He's a busy man.
Yeah, he's a busy man. I wanted to get his take on things as well. All right. So we're going to take some of your questions. And Questions from the Audience is sponsored tonight by the new CW hit series Dynasty, Steven.
Oh, it's supposed to be great. I've heard really good things.
Reboot of the 80s drama is back.
Yeah. That's exciting.
That's just like the Dynasty, which is coming after the merge when Ben and Lauren and the Hustlers get together. Dynasty coming Wednesday nights on the CW right after Riverdale.
Is there a JR?
That was Dallas.
Okay.
Okay. Do we have a question? Okay. The great Matt. It's his birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Matt.
So I was thinking about this.
Is that on?
I have that.
Okay, he's a.
Is there a?
So how about those Foo Fighters, right?
Oh
hey,
my God!
Did we get all the
Foo
references?
Fighters.
There were
yes.
six of them.
Everlong
yes.
was in there.
Yes,
it was.
What did he say?
I don't remember, but it was there.
Was it about JP?
He was like, it will ever take so long. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, right, here we
there
go.
We go. Yeah, so I was thinking about Jessica giving the advantage to Devin, and doesn't she actually accomplish both keeping Joe and Desi safe and fletching Joe's idol by giving the advantage to Devin?
Do you think she intended to flush Joe's idol?
Yeah, I do, because last episode they were talking about how they wanted to get rid of Joe's idol.
But now Joe's on a different tribe, and theoretically he's a healer.
But also, theoretically, they want him back, they want Desi back, and they want the idol gone.
I want her crystal ball, if that's right. I mean, you had to see a lot of things going a certain way.
All you have to see is that it's going to be a 2-2 vote, right?
And that guarantees that he plays
the idol.
An idol?
If it's a 2-2 vote, why wouldn't he play the idol? And they're both going to be safe if he plays the idol.
There is a chain of logic that leads to that. I think that would require a lot of assumptions.
I'm not on the island. I just thought of it in like 15 minutes.
Hey, no, it makes sense.
Fair.
She got a good outcome, yeah. Right?
Do we think that this was a group decision, or do you feel like that this was 100% Jessica? Like, after what happened with Cole, do you think that she's still seeking his counsel?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably they talk through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why probably she shared it with them in the first place. I would guess.
Whose vote should we cancel out?
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think that she was deliberately trying to flush Joe's idol? That's an interesting idea.
I don't know. I think that that's a little too much of a mastermind move to give her credit for doing it. I mean, that if she did, that'll definitely be something we'll hear in exit interviews, and she will pat herself on the back for pulling off that move.
And if she did, she will also pat herself on the back for pulling off that
move. Yeah. I think it's harder not that the survivors don't do it, but I think that it's the kind of thing that when a survivor makes a big strategic move and is not credited for it, like Troyzan with the advantage, they will get that information out there on social media.
Yeah.
Like what I was actually intending to do. They'll probably direct message David Bloomberg as we speak.
It's an interesting idea, because if she knows it's going to be a 2-2 vote, if she wanted to flush it, it makes sense. If you know it's going to be a 2-2 vote, it definitely increases the chance that it's going to be played.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's smart.
Okay. Do you think that we will see another iteration of this season? Secret advantage.
Yeah, I hope so. You have to assume that at least one more, right, will come.
It's still pretty early in the season, so I wouldn't be surprised.
I have to say, I have to also give credit to this man right here, Adam Klein, because when we were watching the episode, as soon as Jeff Probst said, "All right, peanut butter bonanza, and you'll all get your own sack of chips," he's like, "There's an advantage in one of those chips." I was like, "They haven't done that in a long time. This is an Australian survivor. They're not doing that." He's like, "Oh, why are they in individually marked bags? Why are they in sealed bags? There's a secret clue to the idol." I said, "I don't think so." He's right.
I like it more when it's like a communal thing that people have to like, you know, fight for, like, you know, rather than like handed to you in your own bag of chips. Yeah, no, this was luck of the draw, right? Like, you just got your bag of chips.
Not if you open
you
all the
thing.
Bags of chips first.
I guess that's right. Yeah.
Open them up. Here's yours. Yeah. Open it up. Here's yours. Yeah. Oh, how nice. You opened it up for me.
Yeah. Joe Anglin was big into that. He would do a lot of that stuff, like serve people at feasts or whatever. Like,
but people notice when you do that stuff too. So it's not always the right thing to do.
Yeah. Survivor got lucky that the bag, that the secret advantage did not absorb all of the potato chip grease and become illegible.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what this is supposed to be.
That parchment, they, you know, they chisel it. I don't know. Kind of,
okay. I don't know. All right. See, were you happy to have vote stealing continuing to be a thing on Survivor?
This was, I mean, yeah.
Are you happy that they didn't shade you in this clue?
I am. Yeah. It's nice that there are advantages, and I'm not being called out on CBS for screwing up.
Yes.
But
give it time.
I really like the idea of taking these advantages that were supposed to be like earth-shattering, game-changing things and making them smaller and more discreet. I think it's much more fun, and I think it like will hopefully change the dynamic of the game.
Okay. All right. Who's the next question? Okay. In the back. Okay. What's your name?
Simon.
Okay.
My question's in regards to Joe. Given that he found the previous clue and idol on his other beach and now he's on a new beach, why hasn't he already gone looking and got it?
Great point. And we were thinking this during the episode. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, there's two of them. Why does Joe go to the well, go dig up that idol? I'm going to give Joe the benefit of the doubt here and say he did it and it wasn't where the other one was.
Definitely.
But he knows what to look for in the clue as well, so he could find the clue.
Yeah.
But the clue is just on a tree. You know, you don't know which tree it's going to be.
Do you think he figures that it's hidden the same way?
I mean, we've seen in the past that people who have found one. Are you really excited to say something?
Yeah, I am.
Go.
Well, so in my exit interview with Katrina, I had talked to her about the, did you go looking for an idol? And she said, I looked there, and I looked by the well. I guess I just didn't dig deep enough. So she seemed to imply that the idol at Heroes Beach was going to be at that well. So maybe it's not in the right spot. Maybe Joe didn't think of it, but you would think that he would.
Yeah, I mean, I think that people look, right? I mean, I guess maybe not right when you hit the beach after a merge, there's a lot going on, or after a swap, there's a lot going on. But I always assume that everyone is looking. When you see them looking, they're looking. When you don't see them looking, they're looking.
You have to imagine that at the very least, the clue is similar in that it's going to be like a landmark this many feet away dig, right?
Right.
To be fair, although the last season Ty found a couple like that near the well, and then there was one at a challenge randomly. So I guess they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that typically, though, when once you found one, you get like a sense of how they're being hidden in a way that, like, because they're hidden so dramatically differently. Like now that he's found one from a painting on a tree, he's not going to be looking at coconuts on the ground, you know. Maybe they're going to do that.
I will say, this is a blessing in disguise, though, for Joe, because instead of having to play two idols at that tribal council, they only had to play one, so they didn't have to waste an idol on Desi at that tribal council.
Logistical question. I don't know if you guys will know the answer to this. Now that he has played that idol, does it get rehidden, and if so, at what camp?
I don't think they rehide a pre-merge idol.
Oh,
Dave found two. Remember, he played it and then immediately found it again the next morning, but he played it on the same tribe where he found it, whereas this time Joe played it on a tribe where there is still an idol there.
I think it's cleaner in the two-tribe version. I'm trying to think of... because not a lot of idols get played pre-merge. I think that it's sort of few and far between, so we have to go back and look at the three tribe seasons to see when idols got played and when they got replayed.
Yeah,
we have to go back to Game Changers and see what was going on there.
I mean, without looking at the history, I would imagine they're going to rehide it or hide something. Right?
So if you're at the current on the current like healer tribe or the yellow tribe. Are you saying that there is no idol. And then all of a sudden one day there is an idol because somebody else went to tribal council?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. That's interesting. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
We need to ask Jeff.
Okay. Fire away. All right. All right. Who's next? Okay.
I'm Rick from Sacramento.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, Rick. Hey. I was late on that.
That's okay. First of all, I love Joe. Just like Tony, I just think he can't not. He has to just act on everything. His impulsive ideas, and that's great. But I'm thinking, you know, you talked about whether or not that move tonight was ultimately a good move for Joe, or you know, his group. If I'm Desi, I think the first opportunity I have where I don't need him anymore, mm-hmm. I'm gone. Isn't that kind of a bad move for Joe? Do you think maybe he should have let her in on what he was going to do? You know, maybe that would have give her a little buy-in, or do you think she would have just killed it, that impulse, and he just needs to do his own thing?
Yeah, it's interesting that Desi and Joe are a little bit like one of these like blind date Amazing Race couples where they're sort of together and she's not crazy about it and he's like a hothead and like I'm stuck with this guy. Yeah, that is a good point. I think that Desi is probably going to if not like go back to the rest of the healers at large and potentially cut bait on Joe, maybe find some other group.
Well, which one? One of you said that you thought that Devin was now going to turn on Ashley, right?
Maybe I said that. I don't know. Rather, I said a lot of things.
To avoid a 2-2 split.
I think more likely is Desi turning on Joe now that she knows he doesn't have an idol.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, that's actually a good, you're right, like a Desi Ashley Devin group. That could be, yeah.
I mean, what he is doing now, or what he just did, is she's like, play the idol for me and then I'll trust you. She says, play it for me. He doesn't. And then is like, I told you, like, you know,
right.
I was right.
Yeah.
You were wrong, kind of. So if that's the feel, he definitely didn't intend it that way, but if that's the feeling that she's going to get from that, then, you know, people remember how you make them feel. So,
yeah. And she had this, right, that experience. I can't. When Joe did blow up, and I agree with Rick that he just can't help himself from acting on all of his crazy ideas, and that was some of the charm and the, you know, of Tony as well. She felt really vulnerable in that situation where he was, you know, spinning out this crazy scenario, and she felt like she was the one who was getting targeted because of it. So, you know, not being hooked to someone who's, you know, really you don't feel safe around, I agree. It really could change her perspective.
She just had no choice but to stick with him on this one, especially knowing that he had an idol.
Okay. All right. Let's go to another question. Okay. Scott.
Scott from Seattle.
Hey, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Speaking of fan fiction romances, why can't we get Ryan and Rourke in an RHAP alliance together?
Ooh. I don't know.
Why not?
Yeah. I mean, it's
probably why not, Rob? Because we haven't seen them talk on the show. Yeah. why not? Yeah. It can happen.
Well, Ryan's never even been in a relationship.
Yeah. That's true.
So no place to start. You know, Jeff is an officiant.
Yeah. I don't know.
So are you and I.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Look at that.
The three of us could officiate their wedding. Yeah.
I don't see that one working out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sadly.
All right.
But see who's negative now.
I don't know. All right, let's go right over here.
I like the idea though.
Hi, Troy from Santa Clara.
Hi, Troy.
Troy.
Hi.
Hey, Troy.
So what is our take on the 3-into-3 swap?
Yeah.
If you're a player, like do you guys like it? And if you're a player, are you thinking this is our last swap before a full merge? Are we going to do a pit stop at 2 tribes? Right. Like what, how important is it to build up a 4-person alliance or a 5-person alliance going into the merge?
So I believe this is the first time that we've done this where we swapped from 3 tribes to 3 tribes. Adam, when you played, you went from 2 tribes to 3 tribes, right to the merge. You guys didn't go back down to 2. I did feel like that created a lot of chaos when you guys did merge. Do you think that we will go from 3 tribes into the merge?
I think so. Yeah.
Yep. I think so too.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Do you think that it is potentially, like, if we end up with this group that went to tribal council going to another tribal council, could that, accelerate things?
You mean they'll do a faster merge just to, like...
Or switch it to 2 and then merge?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
How many people are left right now?
14.
There's 14. So that's two more episodes, and they merge at 12. I think that's reasonable.
They've been merging at 13 the last couple seasons.
Yeah, but that's with 20 players. This is 18 players. Okay. So.
Yeah, that's a big merge, 13.
Especially with only 18 players in the game.
That's a good question, though. How much are you committing to this group of four, and how much are you holding back those you know, on those previous line? I mean, what you've done the swap to the merge. How much do you commit to that new group versus, you know, hanging on to your original tribes alliances?
Oh, I mean, it totally depends.
Yeah, instantly went to the other side, right? Once you got to the merge, away from Jessica and Ken.
Away from Jessica and Ken, with Jessica and Ken.
You started at the merge. You started with them, and then did you? I guess so.
I was in lockstep with Jessica. I mean, you didn't see it on the show, but Jessica was my closest ally when the merch hit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it looked like I was closer with Hannah and Zeke on the show, but really Jessica was my number one ally. She knew about my idol, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that at the merge, could you tell the divide between, you know, how much were people going back to their original tribes and
I think I unintentionally created the divide by, you know, making the mistake of telling Taylor that I wanted to go after Will, and then I knew that they were coming after me. So that created the divide, but it was a divide that worked out really well for me because the Gen Xers were like, you guys are going after Adam. They didn't even believe them.
Yeah.
Like Chris and company didn't believe that Jay and Michelle and them would want to get rid of me. They thought it was a fake story that they were being told to actually target Chris. So it worked out really well for me. And what Michelle was saying, like, why would we do that? That's sort of silly. I think ended up being kind of true for them.
Okay.
Enough about Millennials versus Generation X.
Well, no, but we try, you try to extrapolate. Extrapolate what's a generally good strategy at this swap? Like, do you really try to create new bonds, or do you sort of expect to go back here?
Okay, I think you should always be making friendships at the very least.
Yeah,
friendship. Okay, let's do a few more questions.
Real friendship. Okay, not just say friendship over and over again.
Here is Taryn Armstrong.
So yeah, I'm Taryn. I'm from Boston.
Hey, Taryn
from Boston.
Oh, God, you nailed that one.
Well, not Rob.
Well, what can you expect?
So, was it a mistake to take out Alan over Ashley here, especially given that Ashley seems to be the connection to Devin? And if you take Ashley out, then it's less likely that Devin's going to work with Alan.
Interesting.
That's a great question.
I would agree. I would co-sign that. Yeah.
Yeah. For Joe, potentially that maybe that had become too toxic, him versus Alan during that day, and maybe they felt like that was not going to be a tenable situation moving forward, and that could have been the reason why they ultimately wanted to target Alan in that spot.
And in his sort of, you know, homage to Tony loved to take out the other big alpha dudes, right? Mm-hmm. He definitely LJ. Obviously, we're still all heartbroken about that.
Not as much.
Yeah. And Cliff, he wasn't the one who originated the Cliff blindside, was he?
Him and Trish.
Trish. Right? But still, so he, you know, he liked to get rid of the alpha male, so make himself the lone guy.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm with you. I'm with you. I think that getting rid of Ashley would have been the smarter move.
Okay. Here, let's go. Alex.
What's up, guys? I'm Alex from New York.
What's up,
hey,
Alex
from
New York?
All right, so
we're getting there.
If we were able to place bets on who was going to win Survivor downstairs at the sports book, I would go put my money on Chrissy. Do you think that's the best bet available?
I think your odds aren't going to be great, but I think that's a very good bet.
Yeah, better than 1 in 14. I would go Chrissy.
Yeah. I agree.
Is there anybody else that you would come close?
I like Ryan. I like Chrissy. I still like Ben, but I think I would put Chrissy ahead of them.
Yeah, I feel like that the really strong field, I feel like Ben, Chrissy, Ryan, Allie, Devin's in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Allie kind of had a weak episode tonight, but I guess it doesn't really matter that much.
But there was nothing bad.
Chrissy got a lot of woodwinds during her confessional.
A lot of really positive content.
Ryan.
Yeah.
So that could, you know, be good for either her or Ryan. I like Chrissy just based on the, you know, the woodwind angle.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Chrissy's the kind of player that, you know, in recent seasons, the older lady, she's not even, you know, very old, but like the older lady, people think, oh, we can go to the end with them and we can beat them at the end. But Chrissy is super smart. She's super social. And I think people have been underestimating her even from pregame press.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go. Coach's beard. In the back. Okay.
Hey, guys. Justin from Reno.
Justin from
Reno. Hey, Justin from Reno.
So, Cole prefaced before he went and spilled all the beans that when he tells a secret, he gets a hug and a kiss on the cheek. Now that he's found out that's not true with everybody, yeah, is he just going to be a steel trap and not tell anybody anything now?
Now that there's no more kisses, that's interesting.
The kiss from Ben could have happened off, you know, everything gets edited out. A lot of things get edited out. So, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
I think that the difference between what Cole did the first time and it working and what Cole did the second time and it not working as well is, one, he had an existing relationship with the person that he was giving this information to, and two, it really was, you know, his secret. When you're telling somebody else's secret, it almost makes you seem untrustworthy.
It was Joe's secret.
No, but they found it together, right? Like, he had found it with Joe. He was like, I found this idol with Joe.
He had never agreed. He had never, like, agreed with Joe. Like, I, you know.
Pretty sure that was, like, a, you know, part of, like, hey, don't tell everybody I have the idol.
I guess. But I just think, like, when you're telling somebody else's secret, there's something inherently untrustworthy about that.
Yeah.
It means you're turning on somebody else. What's to say you're not going to do it to me?
Yeah, I don't think that he can help himself. I you know that.
But his rationalizations are so good. You know, like his logic behind it is great, and it sounds like so thoughtful and like, you know, insightful. Like, I'm using this as a tool. I'm using like this to like create trust. You know, and then it ends up just being like just spilling his guts to everyone.
Yeah. I really agreed with, I think it was it you that said it was good to tell Ben, but then now he's telling Lauren in front of Ben, which tells Ben, yeah, it didn't really mean much to me when I told you that.
But that's exactly what he did last week with the secret that he told Jessica.
Right.
Yeah. She was like, wow, Cole, what a guy. He told me about Joe's idol. And then he's telling everybody, hey, did you hear the one about Joe's idol?
Yeah.
We should vote him out.
Joe
what
does have an
doing?
Idol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's have one more question back there. Okay. Yes.
Hi, I'm Ryan from Las Vegas.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Now that Chrissy knows that Ryan was the one who gave her the idol, should Chrissy go and vote Ryan out so that nobody knows her idol has no power?
No.
Also, no. Yeah. I'm a no on that as well.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
I think the ally
you're not going to.
Is more valuable, and the relationship is more valuable than, okay, somebody knows I have a fake idol. So I think that's probably want to keep him around.
Yeah.
But what a betrayal that would be.
Yeah. Well, especially
like, you
like
idiot. You totally picked the wrong person. You stupid idiot.
Also, because like the fake idol has no value, right? The fake idol is only a notional value. Like, it's only useful as to trick someone or to build
an
alliance.
Does that fake idol get played in a major way this season?
I mean, great.
I hope so.
I mean, it's already served like the best purpose it can, right? Which is to bring two people together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think yes. I would be surprised if it didn't come into play.
And will that person be Joe?
Oh man, hoist by an idol. You know, live by the idol, die by the idol. Wow.
Yeah, be very exciting. Be a very exciting moment. David, did you want to say anything about this episode while we're here? Okay, here's David Bloomberg.
Hello.
Woo! Do you have a tease for this weekend's Why Alan Lost?
Well, as anybody who listens knows, Alan is a former Illini like myself, and I'm used to the Illini football team losing.
Yeah.
So that was not much of a surprise. I do think he should have tried to make Joe strip to see if he had an idol. but other than that, no tease yet.
Okay.
But the Cubs did win.
Okay, there you go.
David's got to listen and read exit interviews.
Yes.
That's right. Were you nervous for Desi tonight?
I was very nervous
for
Desi.
He was freaking out.
What was you were sitting next to David Bloomberg. What was he doing?
This.
And that wasn't when he was watching the Cubs game?
Both.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, this was very fun. Anything else you want to get to set up before we wrap this up tonight? Okay. Well, first off, thanks to all of you for coming out and watching the show with us. We got a great episode to all watch in person. Kevin, you want to weigh in?
Yeah.
All right. Here's Kevin Martin, Canadian
Kevin
Big Brother champion.
Robert Martin.
That woo! Kevin Martin is here.
I just wanted to, did Alan really do anything wrong tonight? I thought this was Alan's best episode. He had this enemy yeah. in Ashley yeah. who has this confessional about how she can't stand this guy. Alan gets her, and then Alan gets Devin. He has the majority, and then he has two magical powers played against him. I was like, I'm sad over here. Yeah. Alan was my guy. No, it was, I thought he had a great episode. Now he's gone. I feel a little upset.
And if it weren't for an idol, he would have been safe. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Give Alan the fishy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Alan did have a great episode, though. It's
who's
true.
Getting the fishy?
Oh, who do you? I mean, who should get the fishy? Let's talk about it.
It's got to be Joe, right?
So I thought about Joe, and Joe was my gut, that great read, the perfect idol play. But then I thought if Joe had worked better with Devin in the first place,
he lost Devin.
You know, like he wouldn't have had to do with the damage control with the idol.
So let's play this out. So, okay, so Steven's going to go off the board here with the fishy, and you didn't do like the weather because
no weather. It's a player.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
All right.
It's not Jeff. It's not the casting.
Not Jeff.
It's not Lynn.
I wonder if he goes back to the Ryan and Chrissy thing.
You know me so well.
Yeah, but they were going to bank on that no matter what.
Who did you give it to? Did you give it to Ryan a second time? Because isn't this...
He already got the credit for giving it in the first place. This is just the dividends of that.
Double Jeopardy?
Ryan. Yeah.
You gave him an IU.
For a different reason.
Why?
I thought the way that he handled that, there's a lot of questionable play tonight, and I thought the way that Ryan handled that scene was so perfect. Just the way he positioned it to Chrissy, you know, I did it because I trust you. He goes in with the hug. It was a very natural hug.
Yep.
You know, readers of Dalton Ross's column know that it's the challenge for me. It was a great hug.
Wow.
You know, he made Chrissy feel safe. You know, she says, I feel safe, I feel loved. And as Adam was saying, you know, people remember the way you feel, you make them feel. And I think he did a great job.
By all accounts, I mean, Ryan is very social, very funny. He's getting in really well with people. And I think that was just another indication of that, certainly.
Okay.
Who's a better choice, you know?
I think that you have to just swallow that Joe made a bad move to start it out and then made the right play with the idol by the end of the night.
Joe is going to be tweeting about this for sure.
Right.
Yes,
rather than give a fishy to somebody that you've already given a fishy to for the same exact reason.
No, it was a different reason.
Yeah, he already got the fishy.
No, it was a different reason.
Hey, tune in next week. Maybe he'll win it again.
This was for a conversation. This is why you're with third place. You know, this is the difference between second and third.
Yeah.
This is the second and third margin.
But Joe went back to camp that night, and he went to bed thinking, I'm getting a fishy.
He definitely thought he was getting the fishy. And, you know, Survivor can be disappointing. Yeah.
This is going to be a hashtag blindside for Joe.
Hashtag clean your spectacle.
I'm definitely getting
don't come after me on Twitter. Let the record
hashtag
state.
Joe's sleepover.
Rob and I thought.
Yes.
You know.
Give Joe the fishy. Give the man his fishy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, that being said, very fun night here on the Know It Alls. Alan Ball exit interview coming up on the podcast. Get your voicemails in. Nick Majorano is coming into the studio. That should be a lot of fun. If you have questions about the episode, always you can email survivor@robinswebsite.com. And have you been listening to the Wandoffs in the Wiggle Room?
I haven't yet. No,
yes. Oh boy, the Wandoff has really taken off.
Wait, tell me what a Wandoff is.
It's basically the people are sending in their song parodies.
Oh, wow.
Every single week. And this past week, I think we had 9 song parodies sent in. I already got one about tonight's episode.
Oh, my gosh.
I think for the next live know-it-alls, you need to have some people come and perform.
Oh, my God. That's a great idea. Yes. Live Wandoff.
Okay. That'd be great. Send those in wiggleroom@robinswebsite.com. 3 weeks from tonight, Stephen Fishback and I are going to be in New York City.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Should be a wild night. If you're listening to this, you want to join in on the fun, go to robasawebsite.com/events. Steven and I also may be doing some genius related activities on Periscope coming up tomorrow.
That's very exciting.
Which after tonight's contentious know-it-alls could be very, we might be broken up by next week's show.
Genius related activities. Yeah. That's exciting.
This will be as heartbreaking to see as seeing Ben and Lauren break up after their deep relationship.
Oh, and can we talk about Lauren's hat just for a quick second? How is it so white? It's not dirty. Anyway, I thought that was strange.
And
it's
of course,
so clean.
Special thanks to our sponsor of this podcast. Check out the reboot of Dynasty Wednesday nights on the CW right after Riverdale. And then thanks so much to Jason Somerville for making all of this happen.
Jason!
Mayor.
Busy man.
Yeah. So check it out. This is a great event that Jason puts on. RunItUpReno.com. If you ever want to find out about the future editions of this fine event, we're going to be headed to a karaoke party after this. Woo. Steven, have you figured out what you're going to sing?
No. Have you? We could sing a duet or a triet.
Yeah, no. Why not?
Let's do a triet.
Yeah.
We'll work on that. So everybody's here. Can't wait to move on to the after party. Thanks for watching, everybody. Take care. Bye.
Smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor, no it owes.